कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, our plan is to start the chapter 3 today in Bhagavad Gita. I don't know how long it will take because we have now 3 days a week and hopefully there are 45 or so verses in the third chapter. So, before we start that third chapter, how Krishna has decided to speak about Karma Yoga in this third chapter, we should know the background behind it. Because if we look into second chapter, if you remember, we discussed this before, Karma Yoga has already been discussed in the second chapter, isn't it? Already, if you remember, Karmani Vadhigayaraste Mahabhaleshu Kadajana Ma karma bhalahe durbhur ma de sangostva karmani. This is summary of Karma Yoga is this 4 sutras. Karma sutras they are called. Chatur sutram. Chatur sutra means the 4 sutras related to karma. Karma Yoga. That's already been spoken in the second chapter. So, to some reason, Krishna had to develop that Karma Yoga process in detail, and that is the third chapter. Generally, when Krishna gives the mercy to somebody, it comes in different forms to different people. Sometimes people, when they experience a lot of distress in their material life, or when there is too much of unhappiness there, and he tries all the avenues and everything fails, and everything fails. At that time, their mind turns towards Krishna. This is normal in this world. When we have suffered heavily in our material life, either due to health problems or due to poverty or whatever it may be, for some reason or the other, if the distress in material life becomes unbearable, then at that point, our mind turns towards Krishna. So, according to the approach what the individual has towards Krishna, Krishna responds in the same way. But There is a limited amount of devotion at that time developed inside, in the individual. He develops a certain devotion inside. But what happens is, when that distress is over, automatically the devotion also goes away. In other words, there won't be the same intensity of devotion what he experienced in the beginning, because in distress, when one approaches Krishna, there is a certain amount of surrender there, isn't it? He surrenders, at least he accepts Krishna's authority and surrenders to him, and that surrender what he had in the beginning before the distress came will not be there once the distress is gone away. This is all our experience in this world. Similarly, when there is intense desire inside for us, for example, to have wealth or to have some occupation or positions in this world, if the desire develops very strongly, even then sometimes the chances are that we will take Krishna shelter to support us into fulfill that desire in us. So first thing, from distress one goes to Krishna. Secondly, due to desires inside, he goes to Krishna. So even then it is called bhakti. This is all different categories of bhakti. There also, for whatever desire fulfillment, he has gone to Krishna. When that desire is fulfilled, automatically the devotion will come down. Level of devotion will also come down. So, when all these things are happening, there will be a limited amount of Shraddha in Krishna consciousness. But that Shraddha or attachment or the attention is not pure. It's not pure. Shraddha is there in everyone. Shraddha is there in everyone. This thing called Shraddha, we were discussing this last Sunday, isn't it? This thing called Shraddha is there everyone. Krishna also says, if you look into the 17th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the 17th chapter, the third verse, Krishna says, what is Shraddha? It's good to keep in connection with all the other chapters as well, because they're all mutually supporting. So there, Krishna says here, Satvani Rupa Shravase Shraddha Bhavadi Bharata Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yoya Shraddha Sayavasa. Remember that verse? Verse 3 in 17th chapter. Krishna is saying, Satvani Rupa Sarvase Shraddha Bhavadi Bharata Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yoya Shraddha Sayavasa. So, Shraddha Mayoyam Purusha, that is the word more important there. That everyone has Shraddha. Shraddha is there in everybody. That's why it's called Shraddha Mayoyam Purusha. Man is provided with this thing called Shraddha. Everybody has Shraddha. The only thing is, what we discussed last Sunday, that the Shraddha at the right place, that's where the problem is. There's nobody in this world without any Shraddha. Shraddha, everybody has Shraddha. And Shraddha is, that's why Krishna is saying here, Shraddha Mayoyam Purusha. Everyone has a Shraddha in him. Now, in the Bhagavadam, when they talk about Shraddha, what he says is, Sattvikam Adhyalmika Shraddha. When Sattvagunam develops, Shraddha will be in Adhyalmam, in spiritual life. That is the symptom. Sattvikam Adhyalmika Shraddha. Then, Karmam Shraddha to Rajasi. Rajasa means Shraddha in Karmam activities. So, you can see there, that Krishna gives more importance to Sattvikam. Why? Only in Sattvagunam Adhyalmika Shraddha will develop. It won't develop in Rajasam or Tamasam. In Rajasam or Tamasam. Then Tamas Adharmaya Shraddha. In Tamogunam what will happen? Shraddha will be in Adharmam. Irreligious activities. Malsevayam to Nirguna. When we become serious about Krishna consciousness, or in other words, fully, completely desiring for Krishna, that is Malseva. Malseva means desiring for Krishna alone, nothing else in this world Krishna says that is Nirgunam. Nirgunam. It is free from all modes of nature. Sattvikam, sattvika adhyatmiki shraddha, karma shraddha tu rajasi, tamasya adharmaya shraddha, malsevayam tu Nirgunam. It is in the Canto 11, this verse. But anyway, the important point here is that Shraddhamayoyam Purusha. Shraddha is, that is the most important thing. Everybody has that Shraddha. So here, Krishna also says in the, different people have Shraddha in different things. Yadrashi, Yadrashi, Shraddha. Siddhar Bhavati, Tadrashi. Remember, we discussed that on Sunday. Yadrashi, Yadrashi, Shraddha, Siddhar Bhavati, Tadrashi. That where your Shraddha is there, you will meditate on that. The meditation inside in a subtle level will go on based on where your Shraddha is. And what else? He will do your actions. All the karma will be centered around that. You will earn the money based on that. And if it is cash or wealth, whatever one wants to learn, and it will be centered around that principle. If somebody is looking for name and fame, everything will be centered around that. If it is health, then that will be the priority inside. This you can see in general life also. Take anybody. Nobody is exception to these things. No matter who it is. And these are the fundamentals of the principles of Shraddha. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam is divided based on this principle. So, in Rajasam and Tamasam, that Shraddha is not a good thing. Because it will not develop spiritually. That's a problem. And one continuously engaged in activities throughout life, it will not take him to the mode of goodness. So rather, important thing is to understand what that Shraddha in the goodness means. So, now, whenever there is some difficulty, approaching Krishna is quite normal in this world. Every jiva has a right to do that. And may all the jivas do that at the end. We approach Krishna in some distress or the other. But the problem with that is, as soon as the distress is over, the bhakti is also over. Bhakti finishes there at that point. So, but if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Krishna says, Artho Jijnyasu Artharthi Jnani. Four kinds of people approach me, Krishna says, isn't it? And Krishna has approved Artha, that means those who are in distress and coming to Him. So our sages are so considerate, they have not discarded that. Going to Krishna while in distress in this world is not considered a wrong thing. What is the reason behind it? Because even in while in distress, if you go to Krishna, there will be a very slight vasana of that will go in. Isn't it? While in distress also, if you approach Krishna, there will be a small vasana from that will stay inside. So it's not a wrong thing. That is their understanding. That's their thinking. The sages are saying, although it's not the right thing, going to Krishna only for in distress and pulling out of it when it's over, when the distress is over, it's not the right approach to Krishna. But they say that is also okay in that level, in that particular level, because at least by having some devotion at that time, that devotional vasana or devotional propensity will be there in the sushma form. In a subtle form, it will stay inside. So even then, that is not a bad thing. That's their analysis on that. So therefore, that's also approved. That's why Krishna says, Artho. Artho, Jityasu, Arthi, Artharthi, Jnani. Four kinds, isn't it? Out of it, the first one is Artha. Artha. Artha means one who is in distress. So, but those who are advancing in spiritual life, who are thinking a little higher than all these things, for them, they have to look at it in a different way. They can't see it in this way. Oh, when the difficulty comes, I'll go to Krishna. Difficulty is over, I'll forget Krishna. Again, next time the difficulty comes, again go to Krishna. Like this. This approach is no good because that will not take very far. Spiritual understanding won't come from that. Bhartrahari says about this. He says here, Pratigaram vyadhehe sukhamidi vibharyasyeha janaha. Bhartrahari says, just like hunger as far as the spiritually advanced people are concerned, is a disease. Hunger is a disease for the body. So, what we normally do, suppose ordinary people, what do? If they don't feel hungry, they think they are sick, isn't it? What do? Then they go to doctor and get some medicine to have hunger. After we have hunger, once that hunger develops, then we eat and then fulfills the hunger. That's normally everybody does that. Suppose for a few days you not feel like eating, you think that there's something wrong with you, isn't it? And we start going to the doctor, asking the doctor, I'm not feeling any desire to eat. From the spiritual point of view, hunger is a disease. Hunger is a disease. From material point of view, hunger is a disease. From material point of view, we consider if we don't feel hungry, that means if the disease is not there, we are unhappy. Isn't it? We are unhappy if the disease is not there. So, in Valmiki Ramayanam, Vishwamitra Maharshi advised Ramachandra and Lakshmana while traveling in the forest, gave them a specific mantra called Bala and Adibala. Two mantras he gave them and told them, just chant this mantra, you won't feel hungry or thirsty. Isn't it? It's in the Ramayanam. If Vishwamitra Maharshi gives that to us, we will say, no, we don't want it. Why? Because we feel that's an unnatural situation not to feel hungry. Therefore, we want to feel hungry because we don't want that situation and we don't even want that mantra if it's given to us. So anyway, we are, so Bhartrahari is saying there that we are misunderstanding a disease as happiness. This hunger is a disease for the body. It is a body's disease from a spiritual point of view. And hunger. There are six things, remember? Shadurmi they are called. In the Bhagavatam it is discussed. Birth and death, old age and disease, hunger and thirst. Or sometimes they say, hankering and lamentation. These are all the nature, the diseases in this body from the spiritual position. Spiritual position means spirit soul. Spirit soul doesn't have any of these things. These are all related to the material body. That means hankering and lamentation, hunger and thirst, birth and death. This is all in relationship with the body. Sukhamidi viparyasya vijanaha. Then when you start treating this disease of hunger, a cure, therefore people are thinking, oh, that's nice, it's working, the medicine is working. This is called ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya or ignorance. You have to see everything from the spiritual position. From material position, we think that, oh, it's nice, isn't it? Sukham. Sukham means happiness comes when we don't, when we get hungry and desire to eat, we think, ah, everything has come back to normal. But from the spiritual point of view, the answer is this, that it is a misunderstanding. Or misunderstanding means avidya, or ignorance in us. The disease has come, we took medicines and we feel better. And then we will feel hungry again. One sannyasi gives the example that when you have boil or something happened in the legs or something, when you start scratching, you feel better. When you scratches it, you feel better. But even if when you scratch, what happens? The boil gets bigger on the body. So, but still we won't stop it. We keep on scratching it. Why? Because at that time, scratching gives you some comfort or some happiness. We keep scratching the body because of that. So if you think scratching is good, then how will that be the result? Similarly, every happiness in this world will come and will go. It will come and it will go. So when this is important, when we realize this so-called happiness is actually distress, this so-called happiness what we get from all these different situations, when that discrimination comes inside, at that point you can say that you are advancing spiritually. You're advancing spiritually. When so many distresses comes, and when we start thinking it is happiness, just like in the case of eating, we feel there is happiness by getting hungry and eating it. Or when we feel that there is some happiness when an illness comes and we are getting cured. In all these things, happiness we feel when it is cured, isn't it? When the hunger is cured, hunger problem is cured, you feel happiness. When the illness is cured, you feel happiness. And that is actually a distress. It's not happiness. If that understanding comes to us, then you can say that you are making spiritual progress. That is a symptom of a advancing state in the spiritual life. So, just like headache comes, we take paracetamol straight away, 2 tablets in. And that paracetamol, not cured, relieve the symptoms of the headache, and eventually the headache is gone away. From that onwards, we started telling everybody, you should take paracetamol every day. It's good for you. Because once you take paracetamol, you feel good afterwards. And if you're not having it, you should get the headache and then take paracetamol and feel happy about it after that. This way, if you start thinking in that direction, so then what will happen? Because that is the way our mind gets conditioned in this world, isn't it? That an illness comes, medicine you take. As soon as you take the medicine, you feel relieved. And then you feel, this is the right way to live. I'm properly situated in life now. I got the illness cured. So this is not the right thing to do. Why? Because if this understanding goes on, bodily ignorance will increase inside always. All bodily disorders. Actually, without any disease to be situated in one's original form, Swarupam, is the proper state. Proper state is only that. That to be situated without any vyadhi, without any disease, in one's own spiritual identity, which is as a spirit soul, is the proper situation. From there we have fallen down to this condition. What we are having today with the material body and these experiences and all that is a fallen state. There we are making some adjustments and thinking that this is the perfect state. But that's not. The perfect state is only when we are situated in our spiritual identity as spirit soul. That is a perfectional stage. So, bodily disorders. For some reason it has happened in life. Exactly like due to disorders in the happens in the body. Due to some disorders, some illness comes to the body. There is an illness that comes inside the body also for the consciousness. Consciousness means for the subtle body. There is an illness. And that is called desire, material desire. The desires that comes in is the illness inside. The material body's desires are all the other things. And when this becomes a common thing, this desiring becomes a continuous process, it will have its impact on the body as well. In a society, suppose a headache has become an ancestral quality. Everybody has headache. Everyone in the society has headache. And a community, whole community has got headache. So they all are taking paracetamol and is getting cured. Suddenly one person comes and says to who doesn't have headache, he comes in. What will the society do? They'll tell him, you are really stupid, you don't have headache. No, you should have headache and then you should take paracetamol and get it cured. This is how the society will tell that person. That's how the society is. Society will drive us in that direction, which every majority, because everything is based on majority, isn't it? It's based on, not based on knowledge. It's all based on majority. So, actually, this is what we are all doing throughout life. Yeah. So many unnatural things and situations in our life. Very unnatural situation we are put into. Our way of life, our day-to-day dealings with the world, it's all completely unnatural. But we don't, because the whole society is doing it, we think that is the right thing to do, isn't it? So it's not natural. There are in Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we are going back to the second chapter now, because if you don't understand second chapter properly, the third chapter won't make any sense, because it's linked to the second chapter. In the second chapter, Krishna is saying here that with living in this world without any desire, prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan atmanyeva atmanatushta stitadir munirichyade. If you remember that verse in the second chapter, Krishna says that is the normal state. You see, normal state is prajahadi yadakaman sarvan, without any kamam, without any desire, situated within oneself is the proper state of living in this world. Not what the society is telling and desiring everything what the society wants us to do and following this society thinking that this will make me happy. Because in our ego is telling us that if I follow the society, society will recognize me and make me, I will be happy. This is our ego is telling us. It's not coming from the soul. Krishna, the soul is telling us, no desire, prajahadi yada kaman. If you remember that verse in the second chapter, sarvan, partha, manogadan, they are all coming from the mind. Then what is it? Atmanyeva, atmanatushta. When one is in identity with the soul, that is when he is titadhir. He will become peaceful and he is called Muni, Muni Uchire. So, there, Krishna is saying there, that if you live in this world without any desire, that is what Krishna said, I will look after you. I will do whatever you need it. Whatever you need for your living in this world, it will be provided. That's Krishna's guarantee later on in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that, isn't it? Then, ananyas chindayandomam yejanam paryupasade tesham nithyabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. That's the words in the Bhagavad Gita. That when one has no desire, and when one lives in this world like that, all essential things what he needs, I will provide. This is Krishna's guarantee. But because we don't keep our part of the guarantee, we don't follow that, therefore it doesn't happen. So anyway, Krishna provides every other living entity, isn't it? This is another interesting thing. You don't see birds getting up in the morning running to factory or to the offices to get a job or to get work. Everybody else is provided. They get it in the morning. They come out of their nests. They go. They get their food. They come back and rest. There's nothing else to do for them. They don't have any other big plans in their head. Only in the human society, this big planning goes on. Planning beyond 2012 and further and so many years ahead, isn't it? The planning that goes on. So this is the disease in us. It's not the disease with the other living entities. It's only with us. So without desiring, in material nature, you see, all other living entities from their birth right up to the death, and everything is given to them by that material nature. According to their needs, it's provided by them. If you observe the nature, you can see this in the birds, in the aquatics, in the animals, all animals, they're all getting their food somehow. Every day it's provided from somewhere. They get it. But nobody is talking up like we are doing, or nobody is making such big plans. This is our problem. But why only human society has this problem? Because we have this thing called desire inside. So, this is what Bhartrahari called as pradigara vyadeha. So, ultimately what happens? This desiring itself becomes a cause of distress at the end. Isn't it? It becomes a cause of distress. So, it is at that stage that when this desire builds up very strongly inside, it becomes a distress. And the distress comes, we find there is no way we can relieve that distress. Because from the desiring inside, it becomes so strong that it turns into a distress. What can be done? So that is why he says here, Arjuna also asked Krishna at that point, that is there a state when there is no desire? Is it possible to be like that? Arjuna asked these questions to Krishna. That means at every time when you are completely peaceful, without any desiring inside. That is the state. Arjuna also knows that is Purnatvam. Purnatvam means complete perfection inside. So Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. And that is that question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. If you remember that verse in the second chapter, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava Sthitadhi Kim Pramasheda Kim Vrajeda. Sthitapratyasegabhasa means this, that a state where there is no desire inside anymore, that is samadhi state, that is the state of samadhi. So Sthitapratyasegabhasa, Arjuna has asked this question, and in answer to that, first verse itself Krishna replied, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Everything is coming from the mind. These desires are all coming from the mind. Atmanyeva atmana tushta. One who is fixed on the soul, sthidhati, his intelligence is steady. He will not waver anymore. So, exactly what Krishna has told Arjuna, Krishna has told Uddhava also. What did he say? He says to Uddhava, Krishna says, that nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. It is nothing but a product of maya and the mind. All these desires, chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grihyamanam cha yadido manaso vacha. Whatever you are thinking with your mind and your thoughts that's developing in the form of words, yadido manaso vacha chakshubhyam shravanadibhi, and your senses are perceiving in this world. How does the desire develops? Because we hear about it first, isn't it? From somewhere somebody tells us, oh, there is something new in the market, very good for us. Any new project, product or anything, something, somebody creates some interest in us through advertisement. This is what they are doing. They create this desire in us. That's what all these advertisements is about, isn't it? How to create the desire in you. So, yadido manaso vaja, and the advertisements, how do they get in? Chakshubhyam shravanadibhi, either through the eyes or through the ears, isn't it? So, through the eyes or ears, desire is created. Krishna is saying, nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Realize this, Uddhava, they are all temporary. They have nothing to do with thee. They are all nothing but a product of mind and a product of maya. Mayamayam, manomayam, he says. So, same thing what Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Arjuna also same, different, not different than that. Sthita Prajna Singha Bhasha. Sthita Prajna, first class devotee, or pure devotee, Gunadhida, Uttama Bhakta is called, Gunadhida, one who has transcended the three modes of nature. Yogi, all these names you will see coming in Bhagavad Gita again and again, one after the other. You may think that, oh, are they all different? Actually, they are not different. If you look into, it is the same person coming under different hats. The same person, because the qualities are the same for all of them. Siddha Prajnatvam, Bhakta, or the Yogi, or Gunatidan, or Dundvadidan, or so many words Krishna has used there. But their qualities, if you look, they are all one and the same. So, Siddha Prajna's quality will be spoken as devotee's quality in the 12th chapter. If you look, the qualities of a Siddha Prajna is the same that is spoken as qualities of a devotee in the 12th chapter. And the same thing Krishna will say in the chapter related to the modes of nature as a person's quality of a person who has transcended the modes of nature. It's the same quality will be spoken. And the same thing will be spoken again as the qualities of a yogi. Krishna will talk about it in the 6th chapter and others. Qualities don't change, the names only change. That's the important thing, because if you understand this, then you are getting the message from Bhagavad Gita. Whereas if you start studying Bhagavad Gita, it's just like a textbook where, oh, putting columns and saying, yogi, this is quality. And Gunadhidan, this is quality. Dundvadhidan, this quality. Bhaktan, this quality. And start thinking that they're all separate people. No, they're not separate people. They're all same person, coming with in a different form, spoken at different times. That's the important thing. So, once a group of professors came from the Sanskrit college to see a sage and to discuss with him some important topics. They are also academics. They have come to discuss Yoga Vasishtha with the sage. So in Yoga Vasishtha, if you look, you will see Vasishtha is instructing Ramachandra, spiritual instructions to Ramachandra from Vasishtha. Now, if you look at Ramachandra, Ramachandra is incarnation, isn't it? Krishna's incarnation is Ramachandra. Why does Ramachandra require spiritual instructions? One wonder. Why does we expect Ramachandra to have spiritual instruction? So, the professors who had come to discuss with the sage, professors know very well, they have understood Shastram, they have studied it on a but they don't have the upasana like the sage had. There's a big difference there. One who has got textbook knowledge, that is one level. But one who has knowledge combined with sadhana, strong sadhana, anushtanam is properly situated. He understands better. So they come up to him and says to him that this Ramachandra to whom Vasishtha is instructing, is he the Ramachandra who is the incarnation? That means he already has the spiritual knowledge. Incarnation means he is full, isn't it? Krishna's incarnation means he is full. Or is he Ramachandra who is desiring for liberation? Mumukshu. It's called mumukshu. Mumukshu means one who is desiring for liberation. Is he that Ramachandra here, or the Ramachandra who is already liberated? It's an interesting question, isn't it, from the professors. Because normally you would expect Ramachandra to be incarnation of Krishna, isn't it? Krishna and Ramachandra, practically no difference. But how come Ramachandra is being instructed spiritually? This question will come. So naturally the professors ask this question with this in mind. Is he already liberated, or is he desiring for liberation? Why was the spiritual instructions given to him? So the sage told them, these professors, it is neither for the Ramachandra who is incarnation, nor for the Ramachandra who is looking for liberation. It is actually directed towards you. You lot, who are sitting and studying the books all day, but not desiring for the liberation. So in order to make you more enlightened, these instructions were given in the Yoga Vasishtha. Ramachandra doesn't require any instruction from anybody. But through Ramachandra, this was put to us. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. It's not that Ramachandra needs it. And therefore, it says here that it is the Arjuna's question also is the same way. All this clarity in the Bhagavad Gita, all these different chapters expanded in this way is only for our purpose, not for Arjuna's purpose. Keeping Arjuna, Krishna has spoken this to us. Nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. Arjuna has already received Krishna's mercy. Arjuna doesn't require any more any instruction. Already he is with Krishna. And Krishna has given the Pandavas enough mercy. And Arjuna particularly has received all the mercy from Krishna, but using Arjuna as a receiver, through him he is talking to us. So in the last chapter, Arjuna asked this question: one whose intelligence is steady, Sthita Prajnatvam, has come, and Arjuna asked about him. Prajna means, in the language of the Jnanis, it is called Ishvara Anubhuti, experience of Krishna. In the words of the jnani, is the word, this prajna is a word related to jnanis, not to bhakta, not to yogi. Prajna. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Prajna. That prajna, he says here, that it is the experience of Krishna. Okay. If you same thing, when you come to bhakti, we call it as Bhagavad Anubhavam, experience of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavad Anubhavam, experience in that. Prajna is the word for the jnani. Bhagavad Anubhavam, or experience of Krishna, is the word for the devotee. For the yogi, it is called Yoga Anubhavam. and home from the yoga system. Practically, this is what I'm saying, that jnanam, bhakti, yogam, although these different titles and separation is there in the Bhagavad Gita while speaking, in a sense, it's all spiritual thing. That's what they are analyzing it in through three different ways. That's all. So, what is that experience? Experience is this, that I am pure soul. I am pure spirit soul, not this body. And this is the thing we are trying to drill this into our head, this understanding that I am not this body. How hard it is, you can imagine, that in spite of the fact that whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken, whole Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, and whole life we are reading it, and still anubhuti is not coming. The experience is not happening in us. As soon as some little thing happens to the body, the whole thing is lost in 1 second. Whole thing is gone immediately. Then we think, go after the body then. Then after the body is sorted out, we'll come back again. Ah, what does Bhagavad Gita say? What does Bhagavatam say? Eh? It doesn't come when it's needed, this knowledge. So what good is it? This is the question. When we are experiencing that distress, it is at that time this knowledge must work. Otherwise it's no use, isn't it? Otherwise what happens is that whole lifetime we are studying Bhagavad Gita and we are telling everybody, look, you know, we are not this body. Because I'm healthy, I can tell others I'm not this body. Somebody else who is sick, I go and tell you, you're not this body, you know. Why you are worrying about it? But it is still we should say this to them. Even if that person is sick, we should mention this to them because it's a relief for them at that point. Even if that, he may not realize it straight away, but there will be a subtle impact of that on that person. You can say that still. Why? Tomorrow if you fall sick, somebody else can tell you that this is the reality, is there. Sickness will come. You won't be able to escape from that. That is the very nature of this body. Janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. As soon as you have accepted material body, you have to make sure, you have to agree, you have signed the agreement. I got this material body on the condition that birth, death, old age and disease is a part of this contract. Yeah? That you have no freedom from that. You signed the contract already and got the body. Now what to do? You can't pull out of the contract now. Birth, death, old age and disease is a part of that contract. So Krishna is saying here, tatumasyadi vakyabhyam prajnyadi kathyade, that all the Upanishad's words, tatumasi, prajnanam brahma, ayamatmam brahma, aham brahmasmi, these are the famous statements in the Upanishads. All this is pointing towards prajna. Pointing towards prajna. Then, so when you speak about this, that pure consciousness inside the soul, that is our true identity. So Arjuna is saying here that I am confused. He says, I am confused. This confusion and clearing the confusion is all on the mental platform. You must remember that. This is important. Sometimes we think people come with questions. Oh, if I get that clarified, I'll be okay. One question they have, and they get asked a question, thinking that with that question everything is sorted. No, it will not be sorted, because the question, the doubt, and the clarification is all on the mental platform. It has not even gone to the spiritual platform. So when your mind becomes very, very full of thoughts inside, chitta-vritti increases, full of thoughts inside the mind, and the mind becomes very vibrant, then a lot of disturbances will happen and doubts will start coming up inside. It is not the healthy state or with all these doubts inside. That means the chittavritti is very strong and therefore the mind has become very active. So, but there is another phase after this for a peacefully situated tadaparam shanti mupaiti sakshal. Krishna is saying when the shanti has come inside and the mind has become peaceful, there is another phase of experience, Anubhava Mandalam, it is called. And in that Anubhava Mandalam, there is no confusion. There is no questions, there is no confusion. Confusion, questions are all in the lower level, in the mental platform. All these questions and confusion. So whenever any doubts comes inside, any questions comes inside, if you keep this in the mind, you won't worry about it too much. And because we are driven by the mind most of the time, isn't it? Mind is dictating to us and we are asking questions and getting clarified. Another question brings up, mind brings up, we ask that. This is one level. But Krishna's point is, if the mind is subdued and come to some control, and mind is under control, then there is another phase after that, which is pure spiritual, anubhava mandalam, experience of the soul, where there is no confusion, there is no questions neither. So, therefore, the first thing in the satsangam is spoken about is this, that don't stay in the platform of the mind and keep asking questions. It won't help, because then everybody will be in the mental platform. So we have to move out of the mental platform, and in that level of experience level, or anubhava mandalam as it is called, in that experience level, there is nobody who is doubting. Yeah, the person who is doubting doesn't exist there. It's only in the mental platform where the jiva ahanda, the false ego, is operating strongly, where all the doubts are building up and questions are coming. If you have transcended that state and moved to the experience state of anubhava mandalam, there is nobody who is doubting anything anymore. It's only pure experience of the truth. Therefore, first thing is that that not to worry if something is not understood. Because don't try to understand with the mind anything. Mind is actually a headache. It is only, what it does is, it picks up some things from here and there and confuses you first and creates a lot of crisis inside. And then the whole time will be spent in trying to make the mind peaceful. So, this prajna, thing called prajna, is our swarupam, is our pure identity. We are that. What? That prajna. Prajna is what we are. That means pure consciousness in knowledge. That's what we are. How do we know? In each of us, in our heart, all the time, I'm existing. That prajna is, that consciousness is called prajna. You understand what I'm saying? That we always know this, isn't it? In Jagrat state, we know I am existing. In Swapnam also, I know I am existing, because leaving aside all that is in the dream, I'm separately standing out and observing the dream. That's a proof. In the dream state, isn't it? In the dream state, you are staying out of the dream and you know very well that you have expanded yourself into the different objects in the dream. For example, say, I have seen this class now as it is in my dream in the night. What happens? None of you are there, but I am seeing you, all of you there. How? I expand myself as all of you in the dream. It's me who takes your forms. That is the nature of the soul. The soul's capacity is like that. In the dream state, I have to expand in different forms, and all these interactions between you and me, I am separately standing outside and experiencing it. Isn't it? Because I'm seeing the dream. So in the dream, I'm seeing me interacting with you separately from the dream. Although it is in the dream state, I'm experiencing it. My senses are not there, I'm seeing there. I'm not able to see with my gross senses, but I'm seeing you all in my dream. I'm not able to hear with my ears, but I'm hearing everything what you are saying there in that dream. So, what does this shows that our swarupam, our actual identity, is something different than all these things. In Jagrat, I am separate, I am experiencing everything through the senses and the mind, that's all. In the dream, the senses have all gone to sleep, but through the mind I am experiencing the same thing, and in the same way in the Sushupti also. In Sushupti, when deep sleep, when I wake up, I remember that I had a really good sleep where I had experienced a lot of happiness in the absence of the mind and the senses, which is the proof to us that having mind and the senses is not the happy state. Peaceful state is not based on the mind and the senses. All these things we have to keep on telling us, otherwise we will forget and go back to our conditioned state and try to find solution there. So it's a question of shifting ourselves from the state of this manomandalam or the face of the mind to the face of the soul. To the face of the soul. So mind, body and all these kind of things, it is covering that consciousness inside what I am. Isn't it? I'm identifying now as myself. My consciousness is very clear, saying to me that I am existing, that what I am, consciousness, the soul. But due to the presence of the mind as well as the body, I'm covered. My proper consciousness, proper knowledge, prajna, is covered. So if it's proven to me, or if I have realized that I am not this body, I'm not this mind, then, and my attention, instead of on the body and the mind, if it falls on that prajna and it becomes permanent, that state Krishna calls as sthita prajnato. Do you see what I'm saying? Today, all the attention is on the body as well as the mind. My pure existence is, I am, what I am, is pure consciousness, which is coming from the soul. Shastram is telling us, every moment, when you feel your existence as the soul, in the form of consciousness is telling us that I am existing. In all the three states, there's proof that I am existing. I am doesn't leave me, isn't it? I, that doesn't leave me. Now, that I consciousness, when it is fallen on the body and the mind, I misunderstood everything. It's a misunderstanding. And the same I, when it moves away from the body and the mind towards that soul or prajna, Krishna calls that as sthita prajnatvam. That is sthita prajnatvam means. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava. Keshava, Arjuna asking Krishna, what is their language? Those people who have fallen to that state of consciousness, who has moved away from the body and the mind. So, Krishna calls it as sthita prajnatvam. And the first verse Krishna spoke there, as the answer to that is, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan Atmanyiva, that was verse 55 in the second chapter. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan Atmanyiva Atmanatushta sthita prajnatado uchyate. So you can see that Arjuna's question, those two verses are important, because these are the things which leads to Karma Yogam later, if you understand these verses. 54 and 55. 54 is Arjuna's question and 55 is Krishna's answer in the second chapter. I'm keep on repeating this. You may get bored with it, but I have to keep repeating this. Why? Because if this doesn't get in strongly inside, the mind will go, it'll take you back to the mind again, and mind will start playing its game. That's why repeating this again and again. Arjuna is saying sthita prajna sega bhasha. So first of all, we saw what prajna means, isn't it? Prajna means this consciousness that the soul, I am the soul, I am, all the time. Who am I? We ask this question, isn't it? And the answer Shastra is saying, I am spirit soul. And how do I know? Because all the time I am existing. No matter whether I lose this body, I get another body, I am not going to go away. Because my existence is dependent on this I am, isn't it? If I am is not there, where is me then? Nothing exists then. So that's not true. I am always existing. Whether I am in a vacant state, in the dream state, or in the deep sleep, I am existing. I don't go away. You cannot throw me out. You cannot kill me. That's later on we saw in the second chapter, isn't it? Krishna said that. There is no question of killing anybody in this world. It's not possible. Because I am always existing. Body you can kill, but not me. See? So, that question came up from Arjuna, Siddha Prajnati Bhasha, that 54 words, Samadhistasya Keshava, Sthitadhi Kim Prabhasheda, Kim Asida, Vrajeda Kim. Answer to that, ഭഗവാൻ വാച ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച പ്രജാഹാദി യഥാകാമാൻ സർവാൻ പാർത്ഥ മനോഗതാൻ ആത്മന്യവ ആത്മനത്തുഷ്ട സ്ഥിതപ്രജ്ഞത്വത ഉച്ചതേ. സോ ദിസ് ആത്മന്യവ ആത്മനത്തുഷ്ട, ദിസ് ഇസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ്. ആത്മന്യവ ആത്മനത്തുഷ്ട മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഈസ് ദ സോൾ ആൻഡ് ഹി ഈസ് ഓൾവേസ് ദ സോൾ ആൻഡ് ഹി ഈസ് നെവർ മൂവ്സ് അവേ ഫ്രം ദ സോൾ. ഹി ഈസ് ഓൾവേസ് ഫിക്സ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം. ഹി ഹാസ് കം ടു ദാറ്റ് ഫേസ് ഓഫ് അനുഭവ മണ്ഡലം, നോട്ട് എനിമോർ ഓൺ ദി മെന്റൽ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് വേർഡ് ദ ആത്മന്യവ ആത്മനത്തുഷ്ട. സോ ടു ബി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്തിൻ വൺ സെൽഫ് ആസ് വി ആർ പ്രോപ്പർലി, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ്. ആത്മന്യവ ആത്മനത്തുഷ്ട, വൺ സിറ്റുവേറ്റിംഗ് ബീങ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്തിൻ വൺ സോൺ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി ആസ് ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് സോൾ. That is what it means. Almanyeva almana tushta. Tushta means completely satisfied, completely in peace with one's own identity as Alma, as the soul. So you will see the same thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this verse from Bhagavatam, if you remember, that Alma Ramaschamunayo Nirgrandha abhi urukrame kuruvandi ahaitukim bhaktim itham bhudaguno hari. Bhagavatam. He says there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, took this verse from Bhagavatam, and he says there, Alma Ramascha Munayom, only Alma Rama. Alma Rama means this, Almanyeva Almanatushta, he is Alma Rama. You understand? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Almanyeva Almanatushta. In the Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami says to, to Parikshit, that Alma Rama, they are called Almarama, who? Almanyeva Almanatushta. So, Almaramascha Munayo, Muni, who are thoughtful people, they are always in that platform of the soul. Nargrandhi Abhi Urukrame, they are that Grandhi which is keeping them from the mind and the body, that's been cut off, that's broken. They're broken away from the body and the mind. They are called Muni. Almaramashamaniyo Nirgrandhi Abhi Urukrame. What do? They develop Kurvandi Ahaidugim Bhaktim. Only in that level, Bhakti towards Krishna, Urukramam. Urukrama is Krishna. Nirgrandha Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi. What do? They execute Bhakti. Ittam Bhudaguno Hari. Why? At that time they understand what is Krishna. That's why they are attracted by Krishna at that point. So you can see, Bhakti is not an ordinary thing. Bhakti is a very higher platform which happens after all these realizations that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am to understand my existence is soul and always situated in that platform, that is Almarama, and Almarama is experiencing that bhakti towards Krishna in that state. We all call ourselves devotees, isn't it? This is where the misunderstand. Then once we start thinking we are all great devotees, then what will happen is all these things won't happen because we'll be satisfied with our situation. So here it says in the Upanishads, when you look at it, it in a different way, the sun is there, the sun gives the light, we have got the eyes, isn't it? Just because I've got the eyes, can I see? No. I need the sunlight. Sunlight is there, the eyes are there. I still can't see. Why? If this eye has to function, behind that there is a thing called the mind. If the mind is not registering what I'm seeing with my senses, it won't work, would it? The mind has to register, because only with the support of the mind the eye can see something. Just like the mind is present, mind is helping to register something. The eye is working, and suppose I am dead, and you open my eyes with the hand like this, and ask me to look at something. Will I see anything? Eyes will be open, but I won't see anything, if you ask me. Why? That shows that the eye on its own cannot operate. Eye is functioning only because the mind is there behind it. Can the mind function on its own? Mind also cannot function on its own. Why? There is another thing behind that which is activating the mind, which is the soul. So you can see that the sunlight, the eyes, the mind, none of them is able to do the job without the support from inside the soul. So that is the proof to show that it is the soul that what we are. None of these things. Misunderstanding is that thinking I am this eye, I am this mind, I am this hand, I am this leg. All these are to be taken out from our thoughts, from our ideas. So the Lord says here that so similarly, in my pure identity as the soul, something is sticking on to that. That is a false ego. Something is sticking to that. That's a false ego. Just like I misunderstood my identity with my power to see things through the eye, through the sunlight, or through the mind, which is all misunderstanding. On the other hand, when I see that the soul is behind it, which is activating the mind, the senses, and through that I am experiencing this world. Similarly, the I idea, who I am, is also a misunderstanding. Why? There, this misunderstanding is in the form of false ego. False ego inside, isn't it? My idea of me at that point is, the false ego is operating in this world and I am going along with it. That thinking that I am that false ego. Jiva Ahanda, it's called. On my pure form as the soul, this false ego is something that is sticking to it, on which I am identifying with. Just like I am identifying with the gross body, the mind, senses, and everything. And just like the body and the mind and senses as a birth, isn't it? It has got a birth. It has got a death also. At some point it will die, isn't it? Similarly, this false ego also has got a birth and a death as well. You see that? False ego also has a birth and a death. So, that is why, in ignorant state, when you are identifying with the false ego, it takes birth in the morning and it dies in the evening, when you go to deep sleep. It takes birth when you come out of the deep sleep, and it dies out when you go into deep sleep. The false ego also dies. Just like the body, the mind, and senses has got a birth and a death, as we know very well, the body has a birth and a death, isn't it? So similarly, this thing called false ego also has got a birth and a death. That's what we were discussing in the Bhagavatam. If you remember, Uddhava was answered by Krishna very beautifully in that verses 17 to 24. Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. Up to the jivashayam aparamata vivateja astram, he says at the end, isn't it? So those verses Krishna is saying to Uddhava also exactly the same thing. Message hasn't changed. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it's the same thing. So the important thing is, jiva also has a birth and a death at some point. Jiva, when you call it as jiva, it is the ahanda, false ego inside, with whom I'm identifying with. So when we have come out of this jiva ahanda, or false ego of the jiva, and for some time, you get a very momentary, or a lightning experience in life, that I am not this body, I am that soul, either through your reflection or through your mananam process or through Krishna's mercy, somehow, if it happens even for a second, and if it becomes permanent, that realization, then that is Siddhaprajnatvam. If it becomes permanent, it becomes Siddhaprajnatvam. So, if that becomes a permanent experience, Krishna's point in the second chapter is, if it becomes a permanent experience, it will never leave you again. It will never leave you again. That's why Krishna said, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. If you remember the last words in the second chapter, Esham Brahmi Sthiti. This is called Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmasthiti means you have come to the Brahman platform. Brahman stage you have reached. And he says, Esham Brahm, we will talk about this a little bit more. Why? Because we will have questions. A lot of questions will come from this. Why? Because people read Bhagavad Gita. Okay? And then they say that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, at the time of death, if you remember me, you will not have to take birth again. Isn't it? Andhagaleja mameva smaran tektua kalevaram ya prayadi samadbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. Krishna says that, isn't it? So, there is also few verses there. Krishna is saying that this is the important thing. At the time of death, you must remember me. So, people misunderstand because they don't go deeper into these things. They think that, oh, after all, what is there? At the time of death, I just have to remember Krishna somehow. And if I don't remember, my god brothers or god sisters will come there and they will remind me and I'll be alright. They make the process very, very simple. But if you look into these verses a little bit carefully, when you look through the second chapter, Krishna is building up something to tell us that those things are not going to happen so easily. Prior to that, this Brahmasthiti must happen in this life. Before that, death comes. So that's the importance. I'll come to that later. Esham Brahmasthiti Partha. These last two verses is actually bringing us into Karma Yoga to tell us why Karma Yoga is important. How karma has to change. So, body, if this consciousness leaves the body and it becomes a permanent experience in us, body is continuously changing, isn't it? Body is continuously changing. Mind is also continuously changing. We know that every day, isn't it? Body is changing, mind is changing. And the so-called relatives, they will also leave us one day, with whom we have put all our faith on, relatives and family and all that. They will also leave us one day. So, but Krishna is saying, even if all these things happen, this experience called Brahmasthiti will not leave you. That's the point Krishna is making. If you have got that state in this lifetime, Brahmasthiti, Esham Brahmasthiti Partha. If you look into that last verse in the second chapter, 72. Verse 72, Esham Brahmasthiti Partha Nainam Prapi Vimuhyadi Stitvasya Andagalebi Brahma Nirvanam Mrchati. Very important verse. Esham Brahmasthiti Partha. One who has got that state of Brahmasthiti Nainam Prapi Vimuhyadi, he will not fall into delusion anymore, moham. Because stitvasya andagalepi, he is permanently fixed in that state. Andagalepi brahma nirvana mrchati. Andagala means at the time of death, he will not have even the slightest fear or anxiety about anything. And because he will be absorbed in the soul at that time, he won't even know that his body has left him. That is the beautiful way of dying, the best death. Not thinking that I will remember Krishna at the time of death, or somebody will remind me for that at that time. Because people think all these things, because when they read through this Bhagavad Gita, later on, they'll think, that verse is very simple, it's not very complicated. Ajamala chanted once Narayana and he gone back to the spiritual world. Why I should waste all my life in all doing all these kind of things. So this kind of misunderstanding comes. But Krishna is saying here in the second chapter itself, Krishna has spoken the fact. Krishna is saying, if you have reached that Brahmasthiti, nainam prapya vimuhyati, no more delusion after that, anxiety or illusion about that, and stitvasya andhakalebi, if you are fixed up like that at the time of death, andhakalebi brahma nirvanam rachati, that you will reach that stage, that because you'll be so absorbed in the soul, at that time you won't even know that the body has left you. This is the perfect death. Esham Brahmasthiti Partha. Brahmasthiti. So, Brahmi Sthiti is the important thing Krishna has spoken as the conclusion of the second chapter, which is the Bhagavad Gita summary. So, unless we reach Brahmi Sthiti, this last minute remembrance of Krishna is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will think that we make it very, very simple, everything, for our convenience, isn't it? That we think that all this can happen like this. Eh? That you think what's there in the Bhagavad Gita? Oh, it's so simple, very answer, it's everything given there. And we tell everybody that do this and you'll be okay. But if you very carefully look into Krishna's words and see that how things are connected to each other, each chapter, each verses, everything, you can see there Brahmi Sthiti is an important state before we can discuss about all the other things. So important to know what this Brahmi Sthiti is at that time, what happens to us, isn't it? So even Krishna's point is that in your mental state, suppose in your mind you have absorbed, understood Krishna, something about Krishna, you have some thoughts going through your mind about Krishna, that may leave you. There is no guarantee that that will stay, because mind, as you know very well what nature of the mind is, suppose a series of thoughts are going through your mind. Say you are remembering about Krishna, something relationship with Krishna or Krishna's pastimes or something what Krishna has spoken, you are thinking about it. Suddenly if another thought comes, a powerful thought than this, what you are thinking about at the moment, before you know this has gone and that has taken in. Isn't it? Chittavritti's nature is like that. So, sages tells us, if you are dependent on the mind thinking that you will remember Krishna at the time of death, it may not happen. Because at the time of death, what will happen? Time of death, body will give a lot of trouble. Isn't it? What type of trouble is coming from the body? Kulashekara Alvar says to Krishna that Kandhavarodhana vidhau smaranam kudaste kabham vadam pittam, three things, and they will all become choking up inside, in the throat. They'll come and start choking. So kabhavada pittai kandhavarodhana vidhau smaranam kudaste, what chance have I got to remember you at the time of death? Kulashekara Alvar asked this question to Krishna. So therefore he says to Krishna, that's a devotee's approach. He says to Krishna, I will remember you now when my health is reasonable, when I have my mind and body together, and something I can do, I'll remember you. But I'm sure at the time of death is not going to happen. Because there, I don't have any freedom at that time to think anything different than that. Prana prayana samaye, when the pranan is leaving the body, pranan leaving the body means pranan is the energy, isn't it? The soul's energy is pranan. So this energy pulls the soul from this body to the next body. Pranan goes with that. So at that point, prana prayana samaye, kapam vadam pittam, these three things comes, and kandhavarodhanam, it starts choking in the throat. Smaranam kutaste, how am I going to remember you at that time? So Kulashekara Alvar naturally is a very thoughtful person. That's why he was able to say that. Whereas we will say, there's no problem, all you have to do is to remember Krishna at the time of death. That's the difference between Kulashekara Alvar and us. We are so confident about everything in spiritual life that we make it very simple. We will say to Kulashekara Alvar, can you not remember Krishna at the time of death? Kulashekara Alvar is telling us that we are such people. Our preaching is like that. We say to people that, why don't you remember Krishna at the time of death? But Kulashekara Alvar is telling us that these things will come and I know my situation. That's devotee. Devotees knows that these are the reality, the facts of life. So better to come to terms with it now, right now, before all that happens. So here it says that birth and death is for the body, mind and senses. And birth and death is equally for that false ego. Also has got a birth and death. Now, when you come to this Brahmi Sthiti, fully come to the platform of the soul, and it becomes a permanent experience, a phase of experience in life, Krishna says that is self-realization, realization of the self. So, continuous experience of the soul, completely freedom from the body and the mind. And it is about that person, Arjuna has asked this question. Arjuna has asked the question. And generally, they belong to two categories. These people who reach that state, they are in two categories. What is that? One is called Samadhisthiti. Samadhisthiti. And the other one is called Uthanasthiti. What is the difference? One is called Samadhisthiti. Samadhisthiti means a state they have reached and they will not move away from that anymore. They will wait for the death to happen and the body to drop. In other words, they have reached that state and they will remain in that state from then on. They won't come back from that. That state of realization of the that, and many of the great souls were like that. Many great souls were in that category. They have reached that state and they won't come back again to the vyavahara state or dealing with this world. It doesn't happen to them. That's called Samadhisthiti, permanently fixed there in that state, Samadhisthiti. And the other one is called Uthanasthiti. Now, what is the difference between Samadhisthiti and Uthanasthiti? Krishna is saying there, this Brahmi Sthiti, which is the same as, all name doesn't mean anything. Don't take names very seriously. Understand the principle behind it. Siddha Prajnatvam, Brahmi Sthiti, they all mean the same thing. It means that they have got fixed up in the spiritual platform as the soul. They are not in the bodily level anymore. They are completely reached the spiritual state of consciousness. And they are situated in that permanently. No more coming back. And permanently when you are situated, that's called Samadhisthiti. That is, they are in Samadhi all the time. The other state, what is known as Uthanasthiti, Krishna is saying here, that for those who are in the Samadhisthiti, how in the spiritual language, what is spoken about them is like this. When we say, if the bird makes a nest on their head, they won't know about it. So much they are freed from the body. That means even if the birds make a nest on the head, then they will know, they will not be aware of that. Normally, birds will only make the nest. If you look at the small birds, how they make the nest, they will first observe the place, whether it is safe for them to make the nest. Then they start bringing one by one pieces of wood or some rubbish, whatever they want to make the nest with. They will bring little by little, and every time they will be observing, is the place safe enough for them to build the nest. That's how they, and that's why sometimes you see the nests in some awkward places where they go on and build the nest. Why? They felt safe there, the birds. So similarly, unless the head is not moving anymore, and even because they are in Samadhi, the head doesn't move anymore, the birds feel so comfortable that they can make a nest there. So that's how they are referred to, the Samadhisthiti of the Jnanis or the realized souls, that their heads are so safe, you can go and sit there and stay there, they won't know about it. That much they have come out of the body. So that is one state. It may not happen to everybody. It won't happen to everybody. Afterwards, the body will start deteriorating and it will go away and they won't know about it even. They will go away from this body like that. They will leave this body here in that way. Now, the other one, the what is known as Uthanasthiti, is they have reached that state, but at the same time, they are doing everything in this world. Vyavaharam. Continuously, they are engaged in all kinds of activities. They are seeing everybody. They are dealing with everybody in this world. Arjuna asked about both types of people to Krishna. Arjuna is asking about both these two kinds of people. That's why Arjuna says, will he speak? In that verse, if you analyze carefully, you will see this. Siddha prajnyasya ka bhasha, samadhisthasya keshava, sthisadhi kim prabhasheta, kima asida vrajeta kim. Remember that verse 54. Arjuna's question you have to analyze properly. Siddha prajnyasya ka bhasha, if he has reached that state, will he speak? That's the question. And what is his language at that time? And samadhisthasya keshava. So, what is his nature? Will he sit siddhadi kim prabhasheda kim asita vrajeta kim? Will he sit in one place or will he walk? Or will he speak or will he be quiet all the time? All these questions have come from Arjuna. So you can see Arjuna is getting the point that there are two states. One state you are permanently fixed like that. Another state you are constantly doing different things, but you are unaffected by anything. You're still situated in that state of consciousness. So those two, will he speak? Tadri kim pramasheda kim asida vrajeda kim? Or will he be situated in one place? Will he move? And has he got coming and going? Coming and going, does that all matter to him? Coming, going. Coming, going is for us, isn't it? We come, we go, all these kind of things. So, Arjuna, there's something very interesting here. Coming and going is actually not the ideal situation in spiritual life. Coming and going. You can't go and stay in the spiritual platform and come down to the material platform again and then go to the spiritual platform. That state where there is no more coming going from our swarupam, from our pure identity to material body, coming and going, this has to come to an end at some point. Because if it's coming and going, it's not safe, isn't it? That's why important question now, whether we go to spiritual world, we'll come back again or not. Everybody is worried about that, as to they got there already. Their main concern now is that if we go to spiritual world, will we come back here? So, before that question comes, we have to think, what is this coming and going? Coming and going means it has no meaning anymore. That means it's not, spiritual life is not worth living then. If I have to come back here after all this whole life devoting to Krishna consciousness, and at the end if I have to come back here and go through this whole process again, that's not very interesting. So, Arjuna, when he asked this question, he is linking everything to the body and he's asking this question. You have to remember that. So, that is why, while Krishna is answering that question, Krishna is very careful. You see, if the person who is speaking and the person who is listening, if they are both on the spiritual platform, if it is happening, there will be no doubts. Yeah? But if the person who is speaking is from the spiritual platform, he is speaking, and the person who is listening is on a bodily identity, there will be problems. That's what has happened to Arjuna here. This is what has caused these questions in the third chapter. In the beginning, Arjuna puts two questions to Krishna. And that question has come with this in background. That Krishna was speaking purely from the transcendental state as the absolute truth. He is speaking to Arjuna. And Arjuna is hearing everything from a bodily level, bodily identity. You see the problem. So, remember we discussed Sunday also that spiritual knowledge gets transmitted only on a peculiar plane. Only on a peculiar plane. Obviously, as I mentioned before, through Arjuna, Krishna wanted to, Vedavyasa Maharshi is such a thoughtful person. He is looking at it from different angles, and while presenting to ordinary mundaners like us, he knows very well, if all these different sides are not covered, we won't understand Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, he brings in Arjuna as a mundane person on a bodily level and puts this question to Krishna. And he makes Krishna to speak purely from the spiritual platform so that these questions, doubts will come up from Arjuna's mind. That's what the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita is. He says here that what is the state of mind of a realized soul? And that is what Krishna spoke in the last chapter as the symptoms of a sthita prajna. What was that? Yesham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimukhyati sthitvasyam andhakalebi brahma nirvana mruchyati. So this sthita prajna state is called brahmi sthiti. They are not different. Or yoga sthiti. Or bhagavad anubhavam. Whatever we call it. Krishna is saying here, at least at the time of death, if this is achieved before that, then just like if you light fire onto camphor, it will burn up whole thing, isn't it? It'll burn, camphor burns straight away. Similarly, Brahman Nirvanam Ruchati. Automatically, you'll become Brahman at that point. Krishna says here. So, the point is, at least before death, we should reach that state. And we should establish Krishna inside. When I say establish Krishna inside means that Krishna is present there already. But our misunderstanding of this false ego, I am Jiva, Ahanda, or false ego, that we should lose completely and understand that my true nature is that what Krishna is inside, Satta Chitta Anandam. That Satchidananda state inside as Krishna's identity, that should become our identity as well. That is the message there. That if the mind goes away, goes outside, immediately your prarabdham will catch you. That's what happens to us, isn't it? The mind goes out, immediately the prarabdham will come. Prarabdham means what? Prarabdham means all other demands from everybody else. Wife, husband, children, relative, society, that will catch you. The moment you allow your mind to go out, that's the first thing it does. It'll go into all these things and they'll tell you, oh, this is required, that's required. Then we will say, let me finish all that and then I'll come to spiritual life after that. And that which will never happen. Because it doesn't happen like that. That's the way it is. So he says here that, so that not allowing the mind to go out and without leaving that consciousness of the soul, spiritual consciousness, and not allowing the mind to go out, we should leave this body. Then, Brahma Nirvanam Ruchati. That's what Krishna is saying here. That in that state of consciousness, Anubhuti state, where we are situated in the platform of the soul, without allowing the mind to go out anymore, to get pulled by the prarabdham. When I say the word prarabdham, it covers everything outside. Family, wife, husband, children, society, community, or whichever you want to refer to. These are our prarabdhamitis actually. Just like this body is prarabdham, that is also prarabdham. We misunderstand that, I have so many nice friends, society, relatives, and so many well-wishers in this and community and all that. This is all actually nothing but prarabdhamitis. It has come in that form. Your prarabdha karma has come in that form. Because if you look at it, you can see that none of them will go with you when you go leave this body. They are only here to take your time away, to take you, give you as much trouble or little happiness, whatever that comes from there. So-called happiness, as I mentioned before. So, unless we move in this direction, in this route, we will not understand what Krishna is talking about. We can't have both together. Prarabdham as well as spiritual life. Spiritual life at some point, prarabdham has to withdraw from us. At least inside it should go from inside. And the attention towards prarabdham should become minimum. So here, Krishna says like this, that before the time of death, we have to be fixed up in that Brahmi sthiti. So that at the time of death also, even a slight movement should not happen from that state of consciousness. And that is what Krishna called it as Brahmi sthiti. Even once, if it flashes inside before death, even once it flashes before death, at the time of death, it won't leave us. It won't leave us. It will be there with us. Prajna. This is not mental now. This is not mental. Even a slight experience of that knowledge of self-realization has happened to us, at the time of death, it will come back again. If you have experienced that in this life, at some point in time, a little bit of this state of self-realization, Krishna's point is, we'll discuss that a little bit more, Because when Arjuna asked this question, I mentioned that Arjuna is asking from the bodily identity. Krishna is answering from the spiritual platform. So Krishna is clarifying that state, what will happen to a person who practiced a spiritual life and he has experienced something in this life. Some self-realization has happened to him. But due to some reason, he has been influenced by prarabdham or something. If something happens to him, what is his future? What is his future? This is Arjuna's question. Krishna had to answer this question. Why? Because Arjuna asked the question from the bodily level, bodily identity. See, Arjuna was listening everything from the spiritual platform, this question wouldn't have come up in his mind. Yeah? So Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, that what will happen to a person who has experienced somewhat self-realization in life, but due to unfortunate situation, he got pulled back again. And Krishna's answer to that is, if he has experienced it in life, it has not lost. It is still there. It will come back at the time of death to save him. That experience what he had before. Therefore, Krishna says, sometime before the death, at least sometime, one should experience a state of self-realization. That's the important. So, sarva, he will not lose it. Then, yatya na kalanyasam, kala jandoha na nashyati. Once it has manifested in a person, it will continuously grow. It will continuously grow and it will protect us at the time of death. Protecting means what? Protecting means what? Protecting is this, that I am thinking that I am this body, and if I die at the time of death thinking that I am this body, it is a kind of fall down, isn't it? At the time of death, if I think I am this body, and all of us die with that understanding, isn't it? Why we are fearful of death? Fearful of losing this body. That's why we are fearful of death, isn't it? So, at the time of death, if I die in that consciousness that I am this body, then I have to accept another body. There's no question. I have to accept another body. So, you may be thinking that, oh, I will remember Krishna, but at the same time I'm thinking I'm this body. These are contradicting, isn't it? So, first thing is to get out of this, I'm not this body. Then we talk about thinking about Krishna. So, unless we move out of this, I'm this body thing, Krishna is saying here that at the time of death, if you think you are this body, that Brahmam, Brahmam means that, that misunderstanding will be there, and that will come out in the form of a subtle body. In the form of a subtle body. The very cause, you see, subtle body takes birth at the time of death. Subtle body takes birth at the time of death. Because subtle body's duty starts at that time. The subtle body gets very busy at that time. Subtle body at the moment is keeping us going with different activities. But it takes the complete control of everything at the time of death. That's when subtle body becomes the most powerful thing, time of death. Right now, subtle body is only engaging the mind and the senses and the gross body. That's all subtle body is doing. But subtle body has a big responsibility at the time of death. At the time of death, what the subtle body does is, then it creates this misunderstanding in us that I am this body. One, because in order that the subtle body has to stay, this misunderstanding is required. Only then he can get the next gross body. So all, from all sides, if you look at it, you can see that Krishna is saying here that at some point, if Krishna's mercy comes, either through satsangam, it falls on us, somewhere we will get the association of a realized soul. We'll get the association of a realized soul. Then you will experience this. You'll experience this state, what Krishna is talking about. There is nothing new happening to us at that time. We also should know that. There's nothing new happening to us all this time. If it is something new that has to come from outside, it will go also. It will go. What actually happens is, in the association of a great soul, Mahatma, what will happen at that point is that all they do is they take your attention from the body and the mind to the soul which is already inside, and they fix your attention from the body, they shift it and fix it on the soul. That's all they do. And as soon as you experience that, the body identity goes, my identity with the mind goes away, everything goes away. So, so what they are doing is, they are only removing this ignorance from us. But the truth is already inside. It is not going, they are not bringing some truth from outside and putting it into us. Remember this, because we are thinking that, oh, I meet this Mahatma or a great soul who is going to give me a better understanding or knowledge of the soul. No, the soul is already there with its full glory. It's already there. All the Mahatma is doing that, or the Jnanis are doing that, is at that time, it takes away that understanding or attention from the body and the mind and shifts that to the soul. That's all they do. Nothing else than that. So, that is the reality, and he is the Guru. He is the Guru. He is the spiritual master. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes very well in Muchukunda's prayers to Krishna. Muchukunda, you remember Muchukunda? Muchukunda is that king who fought, he is the Solar dynasty. He was a king in the Solar dynasty. Ikshvaku, in that, Mandhadha, like that Muchukunda comes. So this Muchukunda, he went to heavenly planets to fight the war with the demigods against the demons. And after the war, he asked the demigods to give a boon. And the demigods asked him, what boon do you want? He said, I want liberation from this existence, material existence. And they said, no, we can't offer that. Then they said, you can't offer anything then. What's the point in asking you for a boon when you can't offer anything? Okay, give me the thing. All I'm looking for now is I just want to rest. Give me the boon that I can go and sleep now, comfortably somewhere. So Muchukunda comes back to this world, goes into a cave, and there was no disturbance there. He lies down there and starts sleeping. The boon was such that if anybody wakes you up, as soon as he touches you, he will burn into ashes. This was known to Krishna. Krishna knew this. So what does Krishna do? Krishna was followed by Kalayavana, isn't it? So Krishna drags Kalayavana to this cave, and Krishna walks through, knowing very well Muchukunda is sleeping there. But Kalayavana didn't notice. Kalayavana goes and he kicks with his feet Muchukunda. Muchukunda wakes up from the sleep. As soon as Muchukunda woke up, he saw Kalayavana standing there. Kalayavana got burnt into ashes. This is the story in the Bhagavatam, is there, this pastime. And at that point, when Kalayavana died, Krishna stands there and Muchukunda is seeing Krishna, and there is a prayer from Muchukunda to Krishna. It is known as Muchukunda Stuti. It's a famous prayer in the Bhagavatam. It is only in the stuti or in the prayers you will notice the spiritual side of life. Otherwise, the stories will go on. It is spoken to us, and the stories as stuti or glorification has been brought in to get the message to us. That's where all the tattvam is. So in the Bhagavatam, if you see in the 10th canto, in the 10th canto, Krishna says there, that the Muchukunda's prayers to Krishna, Bhavava Vargohibi, it is in the 51st chapter, Muchukunda says, Bhavava Vargo Brahmado Yada Bhave, Janasya Tarhi Achuda Sal Samagamaha, Sal Sangamo Yerhi Tadaiva Salgadav Paravaresha Tvai Jayate Mati. This is the verse. Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, భవాభవర్గ భ్రమతి భ్రమదో యదా భవే. భవాభవర్గం, వాట్ ఇస్ భవాభవర్గం? మీన్స్ దాన్ దిస్ కంటిన్యూస్ రొటేషన్. భ్రమణం, భ్రమణం మీన్స్ రొటేషన్. భవం మీన్స్ టు టేక్ బర్త్ అండ్ డై, బర్త్ అండ్ డై, బర్త్ అండ్ డై. దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్స్ హ్యాపనింగ్ టు అస్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్, ఇజ్న్ట్ ఇట్? సో భవాభవర్గో భ్రమదో యదా భవే, దిస్ సైకిల్ ఈస్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ రిపీటెడ్. ఫార్ సో మెనీ లైఫ్ టైమ్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ గోన్ త్రూ డిఫరెంట్ బాడీస్, డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్యామిలీ లైఫ్, డిఫరెంట్ కమ్యూనిటీ, డిఫరెంట్ సొసైటీ, ఆల్ వీ లివ్డ్ త్రూ. నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ రీచ్ దిస్ అనదర్ బాడీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ద ఫస్ట్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ వీ హ్యాడ్. వీ హ్యాడ్ మెనీ హ్యూమన్ బాడీస్ బిఫోర్ దిస్ ఆల్సో, ప్రయర్ కమింగ్ టు దిస్. అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ టుడే, భవాభవర్గో హి భ్రమదో యదా భవే, అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ రిపీటింగ్, అండ్ ఐఎమ్ అనేబుల్ టు స్టాప్ దిస్. ముజుగుంద సేస్ దిస్. వై జనస్య తర్హి అచ్యుత సల్ సమాగమ. ఇన్ ఆల్ దీస్ డిఫరెంట్ బాడీస్ విచ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ గోన్ త్రూ, పర్హాప్స్ ఇన్ సమ్ బాడీ వన్స్ ఐ గెట్ ది అసోసియేషన్ సల్ సమాగమ. సల్ సమాగమ మీన్స్ వేర్ యూ గెట్ ఎన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు అసోసియేట్ ఇన్ సల్సంగం అండ్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ది ట్రూత్, అండ్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ది ట్రూత్. సల్ సమాగమం, ఇట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ వెరీ వెరీ రేర్, నాట్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ లైఫ్ వీ గెట్ ఇట్. We may not get it in every life, sal samagamam. Sal sangam may not happen in every life. The thing is that if you look into the world outside, you can easily understand that, isn't it? How many people in this world are actually serious about self-realization? Forget about Bhagavatam and all that. But finding out the truth, how many people are serious? 99.9% people are satisfied just living in this body and dying, and what happens after death, they are least bothered. That's, they say, we don't know. That's their situation. So spiritual inquiry and spiritual desires is a very rare thing to happen. And of course there can be misunderstanding, like the people, some people say, oh, when I die, if I do all these kind of things after death, I'll go to heaven and enjoy there. That's all keep people under control. People have created all this kind of because some people, if you don't put a rope like this around them, they'll go completely out of control. So in order to keep them under certain restrictions, different religions will present it in different ways. We can't worry too much about that, because that is all after death. We are not concerned about it. We are more concerned today what's happening in this very life before we lose this body. So Mujunda's prayers is like this. Bhavabhavargo hi brahmado yada bhave janasya darhi achyuta sal samagamam. This opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is tarhi achyuta sal samagamam. It's only in sal sangam this will happen. Sal sangamo yarhi tadaiva sal gadau. This sal sangam also happens, why? When Krishna shows some mercy to us. Otherwise it doesn't happen. No matter how much hard you try, it may not happen. We think that we will do this, we will do that, but there will be so many obstacles coming on the way at that time. That's why I say, salsangamo yarhi tadaiva salgato, that we should not take anything for granted in life. So many things can happen which can stop salsangam. Association with the devotees and discussions, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all this cannot, need not necessarily happen. So, yarhi tadaiva salgato. So only salsangam leads into sadgadi. Sadgadi means the proper direction we will move from this ignorant state. Paravaresha toi jayate mati. Paravaresha, addressing Krishna, toi jayate mati. That's the only way to know you. Muchukunda said this to Krishna. But what does this brahmanam means? Brahmanam means this rotation in the wheel of samsara, material existence, isn't it? rotation, what is that rotation? Rotation is this, to think that I am this body. That's rotation. The moment you have fallen into that, rotation must continue. Rotation must continue. To think that I am this body, I am this mind, or I am this jiva. This is the cause of this rotation. The cause of this rotation from one body to another, or the cycle of birth and death, the cause for this is, I am this body, I am this mind, or I am this conditioned living entity. At the moment I am thinking, I am this body, and I want to become something else. Bhavam. Bhavam means that. This is a kind of a Brahman. Brahman means a kind of a illusion inside. When will this illusion go? This illusion will only go only in the association of Salsangam. Salsamagamam, Krishna says. Salsamagamam means association with the Satta. Satta means the soul. Soul is the Satta, isn't it? Satta means that always that is existing, is the soul. Only in the association of the soul, this will go away from us. All the yanis, or all those liberated souls, when they have realized, they have said this. That means, it's not purely a knowledge anymore, that I am not this body. It's not a intellectual grasp anymore, intellectual understanding anymore, but it started manifesting inside, illuminating inside, and therefore, when we speak about this, it's not easy to capture this message. It's not easy to capture. When you say to somebody that I have experienced that I'm not this body, unless that person experienced that, he won't know it. No matter whatever you tell him. That's why when we talk from Bhagavad Gita, when you tell somebody you're not this body, you're not this body, if you have no realization of that, it'll be very difficult for the other person to experience that. If you have no realization. Because you are speaking from a theoretical level. And therefore the person also who is listening is hearing on the same level, bodily level, in other words. So therefore it won't be very effective. So that's why Krishna is saying here that the important thing is salsamagamam, that in the association of those great realized souls, this can happen very quickly. This can happen very quickly. We'll give you a small story about this. There was a Brahmana who lived in the town of Chidambaram. Remember the Chidambaram, the temple, famous Shiva temple we went to when we went last time. He was very, very poor. Very poor person. Not only is poor, that he got married and he doesn't have any proper income to maintain his life. He was so poor. He had no skills either. Except only one skill he had was he knew how to cook. He was a good cook. So, because there was no income, the family was struggling. In the past, this was not looked down upon because Brahmanas or most of them were very poor. Nowadays, Brahmanas are very rich. They are the richest in this world, the Brahmanas. In those days, Brahmanas were very, very poor. And people didn't look down upon them. Why? Because although they were poor materially, spiritually, culturally, they were very rich. They were very rich. So therefore, and people, common man, did not give too much importance to judge others based on the wealth. Isn't it? Now, everybody reads a paper and you see who is the top 100 or 500 in this world in money. Isn't it? And if you come out of the list, you think you've fallen down from the 500. Yeah, Fortune 500, isn't it? This is all the culture from the West has come like this. That they give so much importance to something which is not the thing to be looked at. And it has gone everywhere. In India also it's the same thing now. Who are the first top 100 or top 10? And they constantly keep on bringing this in the newspaper every time. And people get the impression that, there must be somebody spectacular, there must be that these people who are in the list of the first 10 in the country. And they tell you how much their assets are worth, isn't it? 500 million, 10 billion and all that. People are reading this. And who is not reading Bhagavad Gita? And if you read that, what will happen? They think that I am so useless, that they are so much wealth they have got. What I have got? Nothing. So then you start feeling morose, depressed about it, his life, isn't it? So all this is the result of that, the continuous depression after that. And plus all the other desires inside burning to get that. Anyway, what I'm saying is that the Brahmanas in those days, there was no this kind of media today, and there was no this kind of statistics available, who was rich and who were poor. Kings were rich because they ruled the country. But apart from that, there were some zamindars, but they were all under the control of the king. But above all, Brahmanas were respected for their knowledge and realization. That is the state in the way they lived. The Brahminical culture was like that. Material opulences, and they were ashamed to possess wealth. This is another beauty of that. They were so ashamed to possess wealth, because they thought that if they possess wealth, what will others think about us? They lived by the principles in life of that austerity, simplicity, purity, and realizations from spiritual side. All this has disappeared, and now they have become smart. They realize that people don't want all these things, so why should we waste our time on this? So they also got involved in business, money-making affair, and some of them have made a lot of money. And they are also inside them. It is disturbing them. This is also there. That is why many of them, you will see, after they have made a lot of money, they are feeling that, you talk to them, some of them, if you get to know them, they'll tell you that we wasted our time, life. Because Krishna gave that body to them for a higher purpose, much important than making a few millions here or billions here. Brahmanasahi dehoyam kshudragamaya ishyade. Krishna is saying there. They also know that. It is meant for austerity, meant for penances, meant for cultivating spiritual life. Instead, what happened? Their body even not even good enough for sense gratification. This is the another side to it. That body, what is given to them, is only good for austerity. Austerity is easier to reach that. But sense gratification it cannot do, because by the consciousness what he has, vasanas he brought with him, is not good for that. It doesn't have that. But due to this state of change is what's happening, that's what has happened there. So why I'm saying this is Brahmana, who was so poor, he was not concerned about the poverty in the house. He was managing, no income, and Chidambaram temple fed a lot of people, so there will be some prasadam will be available, so he was eating that. In their home, they lived together, husband and the wife. Only problem was, didn't get on with the wife very much. That was the only problem. The wife was not in the same state like the husband was. So, quite often, in household life, when there is no money, it is hell. Wife's demands and the list will be big. And the husband will be thinking, do we need all these things? Can we not cut it down, the needs? But wife is very much affected by the society and the community and all that. So naturally, just to have some peace inside, the husband has to sign the check all the time. Agree with it. Anyway, we all know that, so we don't have to discuss it. So, I'm just saying that if the husband and wife are both looking for spiritual life, a lot of things we can tolerate in this world. We don't have to surrender to the society so much. But if we leave a little bit, we give a little leeway, then everything can get very easily disturbed. So, this Brahmana, his wife was not easily able to adjust with the situation. So she kept demanding. Ultimately what happened was, it develops into arguments and quarrel. Ultimately, then what he used to do was, wife will continuously, what do they call it, nagging, isn't it? Or some word for that. Yeah. With the various demands, yeah? And constantly arguing on it. So he will try his best to control himself, not to lose the temper. Eventually what he will do, when he becomes unbearable, he'll walk away from home, go to the forest, and he will look at one big stone there, thinking that that is his wife. He will shout at the stone to get rid of all the anger that has built up inside. Yeah. So he used to do this. This Brahmana used to do that. not just to release that pressure from inside. He used to go to the forest, and there were so many big stones lying there. So he will sit in on one stone and look at another stone and continuously blast the other stone to vent out this anger that is built up inside. He was doing this, and one day Avayar came that way. Remember, I don't know if you remember, I mentioned about Avayar. Avayar was an old lady, very old, so old, like Shabari, you can say. Practiced spiritual life throughout, never married, and lived everywhere, traveling here, going there, and you will see her in so many different places. And this Avayar comes there, and he saw him sitting there and blasting this stone with all abuses, calling her that she's like this and she's like that. So Avayar could not understand initially what he was talking about. So Avayar goes to him and says to the Brahmana, "What is happening to you?" So he says to her that, "I'm just shouting at my wife. I can't shout at home, because if I shout at home, it will all turn into a big problem. So I come here every day and I speak to this stone. And I tell her what I have, want to tell my wife, I tell the stone. I tell the stone what I want to say." So Avayar looked at him and said to him, "I want to come to your house today for a meal. Invite me. I'm inviting myself," he says to her. She says to him, Avayar says to him, "I'm inviting myself. Let's go home. I want to have a meal with you at home," he says. So this person, Brahmana, says to him, no, you can't come like that, because I have not told my wife that you are coming. She says, "Doesn't matter, whatever you are getting, I'll have the same thing. I am not particular about the feast or anything. Whatever you are eating, give it to me." He says to her, "If I give you what I am getting, you are not going to be very happy." He says, because he knew what is expected at home when he gets home, what he's going to get. So Avayar says, "Doesn't matter, whatever you get it, I'll take it," he says. So they both go to the house. When they go to the house, the Brahmana says to Avayar, "Just wait here, I'll go and tell my wife that you had come." He's trying to put everything in a very nice way, so that somehow Avayar comes and goes away home in a peaceful way, without upsetting her. So he goes inside and tells his wife that Avayar had come and she wants to have the meal here today. So she says to him that, "Why did you agree? First thing, why did you agree to give the meal to him, her? I have told you so many times, we have nothing to offer. And plus, why should we offer all these people all this meal?" This way she started. So he was caught in between the two, isn't it? Avayar is insisting, "I must have the meal," and the wife is saying, "Why have you invited her?" Eventually, they came to an agreement. He somehow managed to pacify her, and she agreed. Today she can have some food. Never again she should turn up here. She is talking all this to the husband. Avayar is sitting outside and listening to this conversation. So after that, she brought this leaf for the meal, to serve the food, yeah? And he didn't say anything. The husband never said anything. The Brahmana never mentioned anything to Avayar. Told Avayar to come in and sit down. Avayar sat down. He also sat down. So he was expecting his wife to come and serve the prasadam. So first thing is, you put the leaf in and then give you the water. This is the system, isn't it? So the leaf has been. So that's all done. The leaf was offered and for both of them, and both of them sat down. The wife came and offered the water, and after that brought the food. So when the food was served to both of them, and whatever that was cooked, it was served to both of them. After that, Avayar was not eating. So Brahmana started asking Avayar, "Why don't you eat? Why don't you eat? Everything has been served." So Avayar says, "No, I'm not eating." She says, "I'm not eating." So immediately the wife says to Avayar, "Then why did you ask me for the food?" So Avayar says, "For me it doesn't matter whether I eat or I don't eat. I can go outside and get something. And if I don't get anything, I'm still willing to live in this world. It's not a problem. I just wanted to see how you serve the food to people." the way you serve the food is clear to me that it's like poison for me. Anybody who eats this food, it is just like poison going in. Because the person who cooks the food, the person who serves the food, and the person who is offering the food, all these people are critical factors in a person who is taking the food. Yeah. When the food goes inside, all these subtle things comes in. If the person is giving food grudgingly, oh, these people are coming and asking for food, I have to give them somehow. Wrong. If the person who is serving thinking, oh, I've given you so much, is not enough for you asking again? Wrong. And if the person who is eating that food, wrong again. You shouldn't eat. So Avaya got up and walked out from there. While leaving, he told this Brahmana, now it's time you can leave home and take sannyas. Go. Leave from here. There's no point in staying in this house, in this state. It is so disaster for you, and it won't do anything good for you, nor for her. You cannot live like this. It's wrong to live in this way. This was the instruction from Avaya. Without touching the food, she walked out from there. Actually, she came only to see her and to tell her if she could change her way of thinking. So, and at that time, Avaya walked out, Brahmana also left home after that. He didn't stay there anymore. After that, he left Chidambaram town, moved over to, away far away from there, moved on to another temple. And when he came to that temple, because generally Brahmanas look for some service in the temples, isn't it? That's their nature, is like that. Because on the one hand, they know that they have to meet their bodily needs. But on the other hand, the spiritual side will always be working inside strongly. They do not like to get absorbed in the completely mundane level. So he comes and to another temple and finds trying to find an engagement in this temple. In those days, there's not so many different kinds of engagements. In the temples also, there will be a limited services available. So he comes there, inquires from the management if he can be of any service, if he can do. So the management asked him, what skills have you got? Because everybody is asking for skill these days, isn't it? Not skill. So the only skill what this poor Brahmana had was how to cook. He knew how to cook. So naturally, the temple management offered him that service. He says, you can assist in the temple kitchen. We have no problem, but we can't offer you anything. That means you will get some food in return. That's what you can get. You'll get some food in return. Then, by making little contacts here and there, he found out that he can sleep in the Goshala. Goshala was there, so he could go and sleep in the Goshala. That's all. His needs are finished. At least he was thinking, I have escaped from a big problem from home. I have escaped from there. At least I'll have some peace now to myself. Nobody will all the time constantly bother me. Saying that, he stayed there in that temple from then on. So he will sleep in the Goshala, do this little service in the temple kitchen, and in the temple kitchen, and then he will receive his food from there. So when he started his service in the temple kitchen, there were others as well in the temple kitchen. And there were four old ladies who have finished their householder life and everything. And they also naturally had that desire to engage in some service. So they come to this temple and they were doing some service in the temple kitchen. So when they found this new recruit had come, the new Brahmana had come, they wanted to boss over him. All these things happen in the temples. Don't tell me that doesn't happen. All temples this happen, including our temples also. The senior one will bully the junior one. It's not that everywhere it is so easy. And so only then we start thinking it's better outside where I was before. I shouldn't have got involved in this. So this happens everywhere. So these four old women who are there, they found he has come new, so naturally he is junior, I am senior. This junior senior also comes there, isn't it? So they started telling him that, so this person's Brahmana says, there I had to put up with only one, now I have to put up with another four here. He says, again he is saying that what has changed in my life now? There I had to only listen to one, now I had to listen to four. We'll discuss tomorrow. Oh, Lord, Srila Prabhupada.